Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Commissioners grant sheriff's OT request by Royal McGregor. The Ector County Commissioners Court unanimously approved Ector County Sheriff Mike Griffin's request for overtime for the courthouse security and all lieutenants to help staff the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. The overtime request will go into effect March 6, which means it's effective immediately as the new pay period started on Sunday. Griffiths explained to the commissioners that lieutenants weren't previously eligible as they were classified as administration. Griffiths said the ability for courthouse security and lieutenants to help staff the jail will relieve a little bit of the burden. It will help, and the lieutenants will be the last resort because they will be the highest paid employees, he said. It will help for a while. Though the overtime request was granted, Griffiths said that isn't stopping him from continuing recruitment. Griffiths said there's a private prison closing in post, and he hopes to have some of its jail staff come to Odessa. As of Monday afternoon, the Ector County Law Enforcement Center is short about 65 jail staff. Griffiths said he's had a little bit of success in the past with the prison in Big Spring closing. We've attained some of those employees from Big Spring, but not a whole bunch of them, he said. The relocation is quite an expense for those individuals. ECSO also plans on having a job fair the first week in April. Odessa Arts Executive Director Randy Hamm gave an update for the Ector County Library Committee. He said the Ivy Group, a consulting agency, is planning on completing its report and presenting it to the Commissioner's Court in June. During Tuesday's meeting, Hamm spoke with commissioners about a peer set that compared the Ector County Library to four other libraries in cities around the United States with similar populations. Hamm said the Ector County Library ranked last in the number of programs offered, but ranked first in attendance of those programs. The Ector County Library also ranked as the second largest population per computer, but had the second fewest computers. Hamm also explained the Ector County Library ranked first in its peer set in total visits and visits per hours open. People are at the library all day, every day, Hamm said during the presentation to the commissioners. Quick hits. Free drive-through COVID-19 tests. The City of Odessa Incident Command is partnering with Curative to offer the COVID-19 PCR test drive-through from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at the corner of 2nd Street and Grant Avenue. Insurance information will be requested. If no insurance test will be free. To book an appointment, visit curative.com. Free AARP Tax Aid. AARP is offering free tax assistance to seniors by appointment through April 12th at the Northside Senior Citizen, 1225 Adams Avenue. Masks are required. To schedule an appointment, call 432-337-5281. Linton Midweek Luncheon Service, Faith Fellowship Lutheran Church, 1603 North Grandview Avenue, has scheduled Linton Midweek Lunch and Services from noon to 1 p.m. Wednesdays through March 30th and April 6th. For more information, call 432-362-2549. Les Diners de Gala by Salvador Dali Tasting. The Ellen Noel Art Museum, 4909 East University Boulevard, will host a private tasting event inspired by recipes from Salvador Dali's cookbook, Les Diners de Gala, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Thursday. Several chefs and restaurants from the Permian Basin have been invited to create an Amuse Broque, which is a one-bite dish inspired by Dali's recipes. There will be 8 or more stations, each with an inspired recipe, along with a beverage pairing, and an exhibit, Les Diners de Gala, by Salvador Dali, which is on loan from the Celestian Art Museum of Nigeria University Collections. Limited number of tickets are available. The exhibit will be on display through March 27th. For tickets or more information, contact Emma Valdez at 432-550-9696, extension 214. Hunks the Show. Club 305, 620 North Grandview Avenue, has scheduled Hunks the Show from 9 p.m. to 1 p.m. Thursday. Doors open at 8 p.m., must be 21 or older to attend. Deaths over 2021 spring break show consequences of drunk driving by OA News. Austin. The Texas Department of Transportation is using its Drive Sober, No Regrets campaign to share with college students the real-life experiences of people affected by drunk driving crashes across Texas, a press release detailed. TxDOT stated that one person in Texas dies every 8 hours and 31 minutes in a DUI alcohol-related traffic crash. Last year, 1,029 people in Texas were killed and 2,522 seriously injured because someone chose to get behind the wheel while impaired. Over last year's spring break, Texas saw 872 DUI alcohol-related traffic crashes. These crashes resulted in 30 fatalities and 107 serious injuries. These are disturbing numbers, especially as all these crashes are preventable, TxDOT Executive Director Mark Williams stated in the press release. Whether it's transit, rideshare companies, or a designated sober friend, there are several options for students to find a sober ride. We're hoping these real-life stories show students that deadly consequences can and do happen every year during spring break. In 2021, there were 9,338 traffic crashes in the Odessa district, resulting in 144 fatalities and 347 serious injuries. There were 662 DUI alcohol-related traffic crashes, resulting in 37 fatalities and 78 serious injuries. During the 2021 spring break holiday time period, there were 32 DUI alcohol-related traffic crashes, resulting in 3 fatalities and 8 serious injuries. In the city of Odessa in 2021, there were 2,606 traffic crashes, resulting in 15 fatalities and 51 serious injuries. Of those, 173 were DUI alcohol-related traffic crashes, resulting in 11 fatalities and 19 serious injuries. During the 2021 spring break holiday time period, there were 12 DUI alcohol-related traffic crash resulting in one serious injury. In the city of Midland in 2021, there were 2,644 traffic crashes resulting in 21 fatalities and 66 serious injuries. Of those, 163 were DUI alcohol-related traffic crashes, resulting in 4 fatalities and 18 serious injuries. During the 2021 spring break holiday time period, there were 7 DUI alcohol-related traffic crashes resulting in 1 fatality and 4 serious injuries. Man charged with swinging axe at woman by OA News. An Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit detailed a 34-year-old man swung an axe at a woman and yelled he was going to blank her up while he was intoxicated. Octavo Ray Navarrete, 34, was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony. The report assault happened March 6th in the 1400 block of North Tom Green Avenue, the affidavit stated. Officers made contact with the complaint identified as Elida Terrazas. Terrazas told police she was sitting in the front yard smoking a cigarette when her dog and the neighbor's dog began barking. The neighbor came over to the front of her house with a yellow-handled axe, and the neighbor yelled at Terrazas he was going to blank her up. The neighbor swung the axe in Terrazas' direction and struck her fence. Terrazas stated she was placed in imminent fear for her life. Terrazas contacted the police. Terrazas stated Navarrete appeared to be intoxicated. Officers made contact with Terrazas' neighbors who told police a family friend, Navarrete, had been drinking and left the area. The Terrazas' neighbors stated Navarrete gets intoxicated and becomes aggressive. When asked about an axe, Terrazas' neighbors stated to officers to check the shed. Inside the shed, a yellow-handled axe was found. Navarrete left the residence wearing a black hoodie, white shirt, and pants. In the 1400 block of the North Muskingum Avenue, officers say they found Navarrete. The affidavit stated that Navarrete was clearly intoxicated. Navarrete was arrested and booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on March 6th, jail records show. He has one bond totaling $25,000 and was still in custody as of Tuesday afternoon. Man, woman charged with leaving kids in vehicle by OA News. A 28-year-old man and a 27-year-old woman were arrested after police say they left their children in a running vehicle in the Texas Roadhouse parking lot while they were drinking inside the restaurant. Joseph Lewis Bellis, 28, and Cassidy Nicole Bellis, 27, were each charged with abandoning a child with intent to return, a state jail felony. Police say the couple were arrested March 5th at Texas Roadhouse located at 5221 North Grandview Avenue. An Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit stated. When officers arrived at the scene, they saw the Escalade on the south side of the business with the engine running. Officers saw a child in the back seat of the vehicle unattended and all windows rolled up. Officers contacted Tiffany Stewart, who stated she arrived at the business around 7 p.m. and saw the vehicle running, the affidavit stated. Stewart stated at around 8 p.m. she stepped out and saw children inside the vehicle and called 911. Texas Roadhouse personnel made an announcement in reference to the escalade and were able to contact Joseph Bellis and Cassidy Bellis, who are the parents of the children, the affidavit detailed. Joseph Bellis told police they arrived at the restaurant around 6:45 p.m. and they were alternating to go to the bathroom. Joseph Bellis stated they then all went inside the restaurant, and Cassidy Bellis later took the children to the vehicle. Joseph Bellis stated his 7-year-old child had a phone and could call if needed. The affidavit stated Cassidy Bellis didn't waiver her rights. Further investigation showed a child exited the vehicle at an unknown time and left the other child alone in the vehicle from an unknown amount of time, the affidavit detailed. Investigation also showed that Joseph Bellis and Cassidy Bellis were consuming alcohol inside Texas Roadhouse. Joseph and Cassidy Bellis had a strong odor of an alcoholic beverage emitting from their breath and person. An inventory of the vehicle resulted in locating under 2 ounces of marijuana in the center console. Joseph and Cassidy Bellis were each arrested and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on March 6, jail records show. Joseph and Cassidy Bellis each had one bond totaling $7,500 and posted bail on March 6th. Alice in Wonderland Jr. on stage at Blackshear by OA News. About 40 students from Miller Magnet Elementary School fell down the rabbit hole for the 10th time Tuesday in a production of Alice in Wonderland Jr. Performances are being held through Thursday in the auditorium of neighboring Blackshear Magnet Elementary. The production is directed by Michelle Keats, musical director at Milam. Milam principal Natalie Fitzgerald said there will be 13 performances and Tuesday's was number 10. There will be 2 more Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. and 1 more at 9:30 a.m. Thursday. Fitzgerald said there are about 40 third, fourth, and fifth grade students in the cast. She added that they auditioned for the parts. She said they don't have a stage or an auditorium at Milam, so they've been performing at Blackshear. Students from elementary schools across Ector County ISD are attending. For some, this was their first bus ride due to COVID and the first time they had seen a live theoretical performance. Fitzgerald said the production is amazing. They did a great job, she said. The choreographer and director are currently both out on maternity leave. Fitzgerald said her musical director and the rest of the fine arts staff really stepped up. Keats said they chose Alice in Wonderland Jr. even before COVID started. The junior designation means it's shorter than the full version at about an hour. Like Fitzgerald, she said the students have done a great job. Since this is our first time in 2 years doing a show, we have started from scratch, I feel, but the kids have picked it up very fast. We have 3 kids that have done a show before. Every other kid is brand new to theater, and they have done phenomenal on being able to do 13 shows. They've really stepped up for us, Keats added. They have been working on the production since October. She said she has a team of fine arts teachers that have helped manage the actors. We come in and we work together as a team, Keats said. My art teacher is a piano teacher and a drama teacher. They all come in. We work together to make sure the kids are what they're supposed to be. Everyone has a job. I love for them to get exposed to the arts. I love them just to get a love of what we do. I love for them to get to see what we are at Milam and see everything that we have here, Keats said. Obituaries. Faye Boone. Wimberley, Texas. Faye Olga Paulson Boone passed away in Wimberley, Texas, February 15th. She was born in Monahans, Texas. She married James Mack Boone in 1962. Faye was preceded in death by her husband, James Mack Boone, parents Anna and Gunnard Paulson, brother John Paulson, and sister Karen Paulson Raptor. Faye is survived by her daughter Tamara Boone Sutherland, sister Anna Reagan, two granddaughters, and four great-grandkids. A celebration of life will be held Saturday, March 19th at 2 p.m. at St. Andrew's Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Odessa. Roy Franklin Cole, Fort Worth. Roy Franklin Cole was a father of two and a friend of many. He passed away suddenly on the afternoon of March 3rd in Fort Worth, Texas, at the age of 67, after a week-long battle with COVID and pneumonia. He is survived by his twin brother Ed, siblings Billy, Susie, and Annie, daughter Christine, and his son Christopher, who was with him in his last moments. Roy was born on December 13, 1954, in Midland, Texas, the first of identical twins. Funeral is 2:30 p.m. Thursday, March 10th, in Greenwood Chapel, Fort Worth. Visitation is from 6 to 8 p.m. Wednesday at Greenwood. Death Notices. Patricia A. Cheney, Odessa. Patricia A. Cheney, 82, of Odessa, died Monday, February 28th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Thursday, March 10th, at Parker Heights Christian Church. Visitation will be held at Odessa Funeral Home on Wednesday, March 9th, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Burial will follow at Ector County on Thursday, March 10th. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home. Consuelo Guardia Cuevas, Odessa. Consuelo Guardia Cuevas, 82, died Tuesday, March 8th, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home. Robbie Lynn Jones Chenal, Odessa. Robbie Lynn Jones Chenal, 70, of Odessa, died Monday, March 7th, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 2 p.m. March 12th, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens. To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Encapsulated Fruits and Veggies. My TV is inundated with commercials touting the benefits of encapsulated fruits and veggies. Seems they're good for everything from dementia to erectile dysfunction. What is your take on them? Answer. Encapsulated fruits and vegetables take some of the micronutrients from fruits and vegetables and concentrate them into capsules. There is evidence that these are effective at raising levels of the nutrients in the blood when taken, and preliminary evidence that they reduce inflammatory markers in the body and improve circulation in the skin. However, I'm still not recommending them since actually eating fresh fruits and vegetables has robust data that shows benefit. Further, people who eat more fruits and vegetables are less likely to eat less healthy choices. encapsulated fruits and vegetables are not a substitute for healthy eating patterns and don't negate the harms of unhealthy choices. These products are typically expensive, and a person can buy a lot of fresh or fresh frozen vegetables for less money. There is a strong evidence, for example, that eating lots of fresh fruits and vegetables can reduce the risk of dementia and, at least in men with diabetes, erectile dysfunction. Good health isn't in a bottle. Eat good food. You can hear the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, with replays at 12 midnight and 8 a.m. the next day.
This is the Dear Abby column. Mother eager to reveal truth of son's parentage. Dear Abby, 32 years ago I was seeing two different men. I slept with each of them in the same week and became pregnant. I told them midway through the pregnancy that the baby might be theirs. One ditched me. I never heard from him again. The other is my husband of 31 years. We went on to have two more children. I have suspected all along that my oldest son, Todd, wasn't my husband's biological child. When Todd was 8, we did a DNA test, and I was right. Todd was recently married. I asked him several times before the wedding to tell his future wife his birth story. Todd was adamant in his refusal. He has no interest in meeting his biological father or having a relationship with him. My husband is his dad, period. I feel guilty for not sharing the truth with Todd's wife when she asks me questions. She knows Todd was born before my husband and I were married. Todd says it's his decision, and it's not a big deal. I disagree. Should I tell her the truth? If I do, I risk upsetting my son and maybe their marriage. They will have kids in the future, and I think she should know. What do you think I should do? Signed, Knows the Whole Story. Dear Knows, you have advised Todd, and he has refused. Respect his decision. Do not go behind his back and divulge this information to his wife, or you may damage beyond repair the relationship you have with your son. Dear Abby, I'm a 24-year-old male. I've been seeing this guy, Kurt, for 4 years. He moved to New York to be with me. He's 17 years older than I am. At first it was great. We were amazing together. Then we hit some rough patches. When I went to meet his family in the Midwest, they treated me horribly. My dad was ill, so I came back home. Kurt let me drive the 18 hours by myself, which infuriated me. I want him back, and I'm also scared to be alone. I have talked to other men online and searched for the love and companionship I no longer have with Kurt. We don't do anything together anymore, and our relationship has been failing for a long time. How do I tell him I want out of the relationship and think we lost our spark a long time ago? How do I get out of the rut I'm in because I'm scared to end the relationship? Signed, Lost and Confused. Dear Lost and Confused, at 24, your chances of finding love again are probably better than your 40-year-old partner's. I don't know how long you have been living in the rut you described, but life is short. Do not waste more time than you already have on Kurt, who may be as relieved as you to see this romance come to an end. Break the news by telling him calmly that you feel your relationship has been failing for a long time. The spark fizzled out a long time ago, and you are calling it quits. Follow it up by saying you hope you will always be friends, and move on. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.